Blog Talk Radio.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, do ordain and establish this
and
Constitution,
so, my fellow Americans,
the United States of America.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do.
This nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
For peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
From the very heart of the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, from the soul of the Bellwether State, Missouri Grassroots Radio is live.
347-677-1835 is your line to the Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. It's Tuesday night, the 28th of August. This is Tuesday Grassroots News Night, and Lisa's here with us. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Dave. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you? You've been busy today, I hear.
Working hard.
You got some breaking news for us here in a bit. First of all, we have some other breaking news, folks. The judge has struck down Robin Carnahan's ballot language. We've been fighting this hard for Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Lots of other people have been fighting it, including Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, who took the case to court. Today, there was they had the hearing today. We weren't sure when the judge would rule on it. He didn't even recess and then come back, you know, like I'll come back with a ruling sometime next week. He ruled on it today, the same day he heard the briefs, and he threw out the language where Claire McCaskill said that this Proposition 3, Prop E, where Prop E was going to deny people access to affordable health care, egregious language, and he replaced it with the version that Republicans wanted, that simply stated exactly what the proposition does, and that is deny the governor from creating single-handedly a state-based health insurance exchange unless authorized by the legislature. So there's a victory right there. What do you think of that, Lisa?
Well, it's a step in the right direction. I'm sure it will go to the Supreme Court. I'm sure the other side will appeal. However, I'm thinking that's not going to go too well for them.
No, I'm not thinking so at all, and I don't know that they'll even bother appealing. They might. Wait a second. This was the Missouri Supreme Court, wasn't it? There's not going to be an appeal beyond this. Was it an appeals court? Let me pop up this judge revised. Yeah, it doesn't say in this breaking news story that I've got here, and that's all we've got. I mean, this is something that happened like 15 or 20 minutes ago, folks. So you're getting the late breaking news, and for more late breaking news, Lisa's been working on a story all day long. Here's something that most of you don't know because it is the latest in news. Go, Lisa.
Haven't even filed it yet. Going to file it after the show. Republican or inside staffers from the Aiken campaign are reporting that they are receiving threats from the Missouri Republican Party and the National Republican Senate Committee to get out or don't work again in the Republican campaign or in the Republican Party. So I'll be filing a story on Examiner.com after the show, and you can read all about it there.
Good. That's good stuff. There was a there was an article today posted by, I forget the guy's name, Aiken. He's got to be related to Todd, who's the campaign manager. His brother, I think. Yeah.
Perry.
But brother?
Son.
Son. Oh, wow. Okay. He had said in a story today that the RNC had told them that it doesn't matter if Aiken stays in or not. They're not getting one penny from the RNC ever. So,
as well on the story. Yep, they Rents Priebus made that statement today it's on YouTube, and you'll be able to see it in the Examiner story. They do not care. They will not give Todd Aiken one penny
So the inevitable almost now loss to Claire McCaskill is on the RNC and for that matter the MRC in my head.
Yeah, you know, I mean, after this, you know, you just gotta dirty tricks just don't work. You know, this is in my opinion, this is highly unethical. This is not about doing what's right for the people of Missouri. And I will also tell you that Todd Akin has raised $300,000 in very small donations over the last week. He's done
right.
a lot of fundraising. You know, a lot of fundraising efforts have gone out over the Internet, and they've all come in very small amounts. So he's raised in excess of $300,000.
And like I was telling somebody who was defending the MRC and saying, well, you know, we'll survive this, I don't know, because that's not a lot of money. And it may well not be enough money to turn the tide, but it's a hell of a lot of people.
Translates into votes, and
I think that
sends a huge message. And if the RNC snubs its nose at that, I think that they are looking at big trouble down the line.
I do too.
Not the last election that hopefully that we have in this country, and if they want Republican support, they need to get behind the people and stop having this power struggle.
That's right. I agree. So there's one win, the ballot language for the grassroots movement, folks. 347-677-1835. And one, there's one battle, a battle where the lines have been drawn for the grassroots right there in the Akin thing. We haven't been talking about it, but we did talk about it quite a bit last week, and we defined exactly what's happening here. This has no longer got anything to do with Akin. By the time this is over, anything that Todd Akin said a week ago Sunday is going to be forgotten. This is going to be a battle that is going to be very dirty. It's going to be caustic, and it's going to be expensive in bodies and in votes for the Republican Party. In my mind, this is all about the grassroots people of the party versus their own party. I'm an outsider looking in, and I can see it. Maybe if you're a loyal Republican whose heart this rips out, I mean, who is just absolutely devastated by what your party is doing to you, you don't see it that way yet. I still see a lot of loyal Republicans saying, well, Akin ought to do what's good for the country and get out. No, I don't think so. This is something that's been boiling and boiling and boiling inside people since they started throwing guys like Herman Cain and Michelle Bachmann and Rick Santorum off the train. And then it just kept boiling and boiling to almost an explosive point when we got swept out by the party in the Missouri primaries. And I think it's gone past a point of no return now, Lisa.
Oh, I would agree. And, you know, it is not in the best interest of the people to allow the Republican Party to maintain a stronghold over the people. And that's exactly what they're trying to do here. And the message is loud and clear. And it's just echoed in what's been going on today at the convention.
That's right. And we're going to talk about that after the break, because what's going on at the convention is just more of what we're talking about. It is what's going on in Missouri multiplied times 50. And I'm telling you, I just don't know if the RNC is suicidal. I don't know if they finally decided that, we'll get along better without these, without this 50% of our people. But it's getting absolutely insane. It's getting crazy. And I'm telling you, you know, it's people like, well, I mean, we mentioned this last week, Cynthia. And, there are those people out there running on non-Republican, liberty-minded platforms. And I mentioned Cynthia because she's the one who may have been close enough to make a dent before this. And I'm telling you, her and Donna are just over there salivating over this thing.
Well, you know, yeah.
Go ahead.
This is how you make change. And unfortunately, it's slow, but it's one person at a time, you know, making a statement. You know, you have Cynthia leaving the Republican Party last year to become a Constitution Party candidate. You've got people like Todd Akin bucking the system here and not acquiescing to the pressure, the tremendous pressure that he received from the Republican National Republican Party. You know, Sarah Palin felt this when she ran with McCain. And I think you'll see people like Michelle Bachmann, you know, and Herman Cain certainly, you know, felt the pressure and was a victim of some, I think, probably some tactics to get him out of the race. You know, people have to start standing up against this. And what they're trying to do at the convention today, I mean, that's just another, it's just a blatant power grab, and you just do not want your political parties to have that much power over the people.
Absolutely. You'll never convince me to the day I die that the Republicans weren't complicit in what happened, directly in what happened to Herman Cain, but at a minimum, they stood by with their hands in their pockets and did nothing while that man got trashed over absolutely nothing.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's infuriating to people in the party. It's infuriating to us outside the party who all we want to do is, you know, and I said something the other day, you know, I'm not a Republican, Lisa, and I said something the other day, and I don't know if I really meant it when I said it or if I was just pissed off and blowing off some steam, but, you know, I may well vote for a Democrat to throw Billy Long out of office. I may well vote for a Democrat to throw, you know, Engler out of office. I may well vote for a Democrat to because I gave you Republicans a chance to throw them out of office. You know, I gave you all the chance in the world to throw Billy Long out, and you didn't do it. So I'm at the point now where anybody, Republican or Democrat, that has been up there, had a shot at it, and has screwed it up, I'm voting against them.
Well, I think that what scares me about that, I mean, I totally agree with the premise of it, but what really scares me about it is that during this election cycle, you know, on a local level, I think that's fine. But when you do that on a national level at this particular point in time, I think that's not a good thing.
You don't think I would suggest that that's not exactly right. I would suggest that it might be best while you and I and the 30, 40 million other grassroots people are sitting around, you know, waiting for our Herman Cain or Michelle Bachmann or Rick Santorum to come along, that we just change. We just change the head of the snake out every 4 years. You know, throw Obama out now and replace him with Romney, hold Romney's feet to the fire, and if he won't be held to the fire, fire him too.
Well, you know, and I think that's fine, but I mean, we are at such a crossroads at this point in time. You know, I mean, we've got to get Obama out, because if we don't get Obama out, we may not have the opportunity to have another election.
No, I agree. And I will vote for Romney to get Obama out, like you, you know, holding my nose and taking some antacid before I go do it. But and maybe some lithium when I get done. But but then, you know, I'm telling you, after the day after Romney is sworn in, somebody needs to be looking for his replacement. I mean, we need to have the grassroots needs to have. I would say nothing would energize the grassroots more than a serious primary challenge against Mitt Romney in 4 years.
Oh, I think it's an excellent idea. And, you know, why wait four years? I think that we need to start with our other state senator.
Oh, yeah.
Get another one. Send a huge message, because he is absolutely not somebody we want to have stay there very long.
Nope. Okay, we're going to come back in a minute. We're going to talk about this gaggle that's going on at the RNC. We're going to talk about some vaginas, Lisa. And then we're going to make some announcements about some upcoming changes to Missouri Grassroots Radio. And we're going to wrap up the week. We're going to probably talk a little bit about what's going on at Missouri Grassroots Coalition.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners. Show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details.
for peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
There it is. Give us liberty or give us death. The voice of the grassroots. This is the Voice of Liberty, Missouri Grassroots Radio Network. You're on Tuesday Night News Hour. Lisa's here. I'm Dave. We've talked already about some problems that Todd Akin and his people, and Todd Akin has some very good people, and these are people who've probably, I don't know them, Alicia knows some of them, but probably people who've spent their life, the better part of their productive employed years, working for causes within the Republican Party, working for Republican candidates, working to get the system changed in a way that it should be changed. Now, and they're being told by the RNC, if I understand correctly, that that if Todd Akin doesn't drop, their career is over. Is that about the way it's going, Lisa?
That's the insinuation, yes. And there's the Beacon published an email from someone in the Missouri Republican Party who sent an email to someone inside the Akin campaign that pretty much lays it right out there. So and you'll be able to read that in my article when I publish it this evening.
It's incredible. This party has totally lost its head. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about what's the craziness that's going on at this convention. Okay, Lisa, we know Vaughn now is going to be gone for an extended period of time. It's not just a 3 or 4 week leave of absence. And so we're going to make some changes here at Missouri Grassroots Radio, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
The fact is, Lisa and I, we have full-time jobs. This is something that we do for the love of doing it and to keep you folks involved as best we can, to do our part as best we can in keeping the grassroots movement alive. It's not a lot, but it's what we do. And we can't, Lisa and I, can't carry 5 nights a week. So beginning next week, we will not do Tuesdays. I will do Thursday next week. Of course, I'll do Thursday this week. I will do Thursday next week of the second hour of Truth of the Week, simply because I have Cynthia Davis already scheduled for that. And we'll have a good talk with Cynthia Davis. We love having Cynthia on. I would not cancel that for anything in the world. But then following that, we will also drop the Thursday night Hour of Truth. So it will be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with myself and the Hour of Truth on Monday, Lisa and the Culture Vigilante on Wednesday, and, of course, the always popular MGC Roundtable on Friday. That MGC Roundtable is drawing a following now. That is the most listened to show that we have, Lisa.
I noticed that. That's pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, it is. And that won't be permanent. We are searching for voices. We are doing auditions. We've got one member of the MGC crew who has been wanting to do a show. He was running for an office and didn't feel that he had the time or that it was even right for him to be doing a show on the radio while he was running for office, sort of a self-promoting thing. So, but his run for the office is over, and he's looking forward to coming around. So we'll add those nights back in as we can. But for now, it'll be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Hour of Truth Monday, Culture Vigilante Wednesday, and the Roundtable on Friday. Is that all right with you, Lisa?
That sounds just fine. Oh. Hopefully we'll keep those time slots action-packed and full of information for you folks.
Yeah, we certainly will. I've already started scheduling guests for down the road, and we're going to concentrate on the Hour of Truth. I know Lisa concentrates a lot on other things, but she also hits these topics quite frequently, and we'll be concentrating on the Hour of Truth on the ballot initiatives. If you missed the breaking news when we started, the judge has thrown out Robin Carnahan's ballot language for Prop E, suggesting Robin Carnahan's language, that is, suggesting that Prop E would deny affordable medical care to anyone And the judge said that that was clearly unfair language. He didn't even adjourn and then come back with a finding. He found immediately, almost in a summary judgment. Lisa thinks that's an appeals court decision. You know, now that I remember hearing Peter Kinder talk on your show, I think you're right. And that if in that case, it may well be appealed to the Supreme Court. I expect that they will handle it as expeditiously. I mean, it's a no-brainer. If you go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, click on the Grass Fire Alert, you can read Carnahan's language on that, and you'll see that it's a no-brainer for any court. So we got this RNC thing going on this week. You've been following that, Lisa?
I've had one ear to the ground, yes.
Yeah, the today it got really dicey. Of course, yesterday they had kind of an abbreviated opening day, purportedly because of the threat from Hurricane Isaac. Now, Hurricane Isaac was never a threat to the Tampa Bay area, and wasn't even close. I mean, there weren't even high waves at Tampa Bay. I think people were out swimming and sunning today and yesterday. But what you're getting from the grassroots people at the convention is that this was all done so that the Rules Committee could meet and make up some craziness to shut the grassroots out, so that it looked like a united party behind Mitt Romney. And that's so unnecessary, Lisa.
Well, you know, I think I don't know that it's supposed to make it look like it's a united party under Mitt Romney. I think it's another power grab. I think it's just, you know, I think it's another message that they're trying to send to the grassroots that you're not welcome here. We don't really want your we don't want your contribution.
Well, you know, and I don't. It's not right. You know, I mean, you might think that the Ron Paul people are a bunch of Looney Tunes. I mean, walking around with their little, you know, tinfoil hats. You might think that they're all just a little bit nutso. You might think that the Rick Santorum people and the Michelle Bachmann people and the Newt Gingrich people, all of who garnered significant primary delegates, are a little bit whacked out. But the fact of the matter is that all of those people and all of their delegates, through the normal primary process, earned at least a voice. Now, there was never any doubt in my mind that this thing wasn't going to ballots. You know, Mitt Romney was going to walk away with this thing on the first ballot as far as the nomination goes. But we're talking now about, you know, platform voices and actual delegate counts and delegates actually being able or allowed to stand up and say, the great state of North Carolina gives its 42 delegates to Newt Gingrich. And they earned that right. I mean, you know, they went out there, they campaigned hard. Nobody campaigned harder than Ron Paul's people. And by God, they earned the right to have a voice at the convention, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I wasn't a Ron Paul supporter, but, you know, they did. They worked incredibly hard, and they learned all of the rules and the tactics that go on in caucuses and conventions, and they, you know, they organized better than anybody in the Republican Party organized. So, you know, while I didn't agree with how they did things always, you know, you got to hand it to them. They were very well put together as a group of folks, and that's the point. You know, that I mean, our whole entire country is founded on that principle. You know, it's the people's voice, the people who work to get what they, you know, are trying to accomplish win the prize. And, you know, while I'm, you know, glad that they didn't go all the way with it, because I don't agree with all the principles of the Paul people always, they really did deserve to have their voice. They fought for it, and they worked for it, and they deserved it.
And okay, look, don't be writing in. Don't be calling in. Lisa misspoke. She said that the Ron Paul people went out and learned all of the rules about the way a convention and a caucus works. What she meant to say was they went out and learned all the rules about the way a convention and a caucus are supposed to work.
Well, all right. That's true.
Because it certainly didn't work that way for them.
Well, County, but you know, and that's true. But you know, I mean, they did the research, they put
their people together.
You know, they organized their strategies. They did everything that they were supposed to do, you know, at a caucus, and they were consistent. They did it all across the country. You know, they mobilized better than anybody in the Republican Party. You know, they absolutely deserve to be where they were.
And in fact, what caused here's it is that very thing that caused the Republican Party to be doing what they're doing today, because the Republican Party sees that if they are going to maintain power, they've got to put an end to this once and for all. I'm telling you, by the time 7, 8, 9, by the time 9 primaries were over, the first 9 primaries, and Mitt Romney had only won the one in New Hampshire, it was becoming apparent to them that they didn't control things anymore, that they weren't pulling the strings anymore. And they immediately started grabbing the steering wheel and forcing that bus to the side of the road so that they could make some minor mechanical adjustments, and they did that. And I think it is my thought that what the RNC and the MRC as part of the RNC is doing now is saying never again. Never again is it going to get this far out of our control.
Well, you know, I think Mitt Romney had to work pretty darn hard in the primary season to knock off each one of those contenders.
Yes.
You know, I don't think it was as easy this time as it may have been in the past, because the Republican Party has a way of doing things, and they award positions on whose turn it is. You know, Mitt Romney's been, you know, being groomed for this position for years, just as McCain was being groomed for the position and Bush was groomed before him. And, you know, he had a lot of challengers this year, and the grassroots is getting stronger, and I think that the Republican Party has noticed that, and I think they are working in every way that they can. You can see it here in the Aiken campaign. I think you saw it with Michelle Bachmann. I think you saw it with Herman Cain. You know, I think you saw it with a lot of the more grassroots type of candidates. They're working very hard to try to silence that voice.
Oh, absolutely. Do you think for 1 minute that after those early primaries, not only was it becoming apparent that the people weren't following the party like lemmings, but it was becoming pretty apparent that Mitt Romney might not win this thing. After those first few primaries, you'll never convince me that it was not some RNC fingers in the stirring the pot when Gingrich and Santorum got disallowed or booted off of 2 big primary ballots because they quote unquote hadn't filed in time, and even when that didn't work, I mean, even after they did that, and you got all the way down to South Carolina in week 12 maybe. And Romney still was looking like the dog that was bringing up the back of the pack. You will never convince me that there wasn't a lot of RNC influence and a lot of RNC money in those packs that were pouring that negative advertisement on Santorum and that negative advertisement on Gingrich all over the South, all over the Northwest, and finally the RNC turned the tide and got the thing back under control.
Yep.
And I think everybody in the grassroots sees that. And I think that's what we were talking about earlier. I think that was just the very start of the boiling. I mean, you know, it's been simmering for years. It's been simmering and simmering and simmering for years. People are starting to feel disconnected from their party for years on platforms and on, you know, George Bush wasn't a favorite with the grassroots people. You know, and then you get your Patriot Act and you get your debt ceiling increase, and you get Boehner up there and your Billy Longs. And so people are already simmering and simmering and starting to feel a little bit disconnected from their own party, and then all of a sudden along comes this thing where they really, the RNC really forced Mitt Romney right down our throats, And there, I don't think that was a secret to anybody in the grassroots that that's exactly what was going on, that the RNC was throwing this election. And I agree with you. I think, and I've actually heard speculation on this, maybe even to the point of someone who's inside enough to know, but I'm not sure. But I'm going to speculate anyway that 4 years ago, even when Mitt Romney was asked to step down and give the nomination to John McCain, when he had a solid chance of winning that thing, that he was told, "Okay, you'll get the next shot."
I would agree. I think I've always felt that way about the Republican Party. It's the party of whose turn is it now?
Yeah, and that's bad. So anyway, at the RNC, I mean, just one thing that I watched for about 45 minutes or an hour today when someone told me this was going to happen. It's not like I just turned it on at the right time. But what happened while I was watching is the Rules Committee was coming back with this rules change that basically shut out the Ron Paul people off the floor. And the rule had been debated, and there was a minority objection to adopting the rule, and there's Robert's Rules of Order that you have to follow when for crying out loud, who's moderating the Rules Committee? Boehner himself. And so Boehner stands up there and he calls for the rule, and the rule is read, and then he calls for a vote on the rule. And right in front of him, I'm telling you, was a large group of people who stood to be recognized with their minority objection. And he totally ignored them and called for a voice vote. There were clearly a lot of no's, and he just passed the motion as though that was okay, as though he were the decider.
And kind of sounds like the St. Charles caucus.
Exactly. Well, I mean that's exactly the way, and that's exactly the way the whole rules thing has gone. I haven't watched it. I can't be bothered. It bores me. But I've been keeping up with all the postings and all of the emails that have been flying back and forth today from Ron Paul people and Rick Santorum people and Newt Gingrich people and just generally disillusioned people. And I said this last week, Lisa, and I still believe it's true. At least 50%, and I think maybe more, of the people who are standing behind Todd Akin right now are not doing so because they liked Todd Akin. You know, I think that Todd Akin was not the Tea Party favorite. He had the very people right now that I hear standing firm behind Todd Akin are the very people that I was hearing 6 weeks ago bad-mouthing him and saying they weren't going to vote for him because of the Patriot, because of NDAA, because of the debt ceiling. And those very people are behind him now. And again, Lisa, I'm saying that shows me that this is gone far beyond Todd Akin. Todd Akin has become nothing but a symbol for this grassroots movement to say, we're done with you.
Oh, I think that's exactly what's going on. I mean, you know, I might have even been one of those people. This is not anymore about, you know, I mean, it is to some degree. I mean, people want Claire McCaskill out of there at all costs. And before Todd Akin misspoke, that's what it was all about. And people were going to get behind him and vote for him because it was about getting Claire out. Well, it's still about that, but it's also about just exactly as you described. It's about, you know, we are not going to be under the thumb of the Republican Party anymore. This is about breaking that power structure and that power hold over the people. So, and I think that's a horrible position for the Republicans to want to be in. Because if I had a little crystal ball, you know, and I could look into the future, I talk to the people here, you know, people on the street, and I can't find anybody who's really, well, there are a few, but there just aren't that many people who aren't supporting him for that very reason. There's just no way they're going to sit there and take this slap in the face from the Republican Party and acquiesce to their dictums.
And I'm telling you, I think this, because, you know, people in Missouri, we are the show me state. We hold grudges for a long, long time in Missouri. We're a bunch of old hillbillies, and once it becomes a feud, we're like the Hatfields and McCoys, and we just carry that feud on until the last person in the other family is gone. I think that the person who'd ought to be running scared from this whole thing is Roy Blunt. I mean, I think in 4 years, people are going to remember this battle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I'm involved in the grassroots movement in 4 years, I'm going to make damn sure they remember this battle.
Absolutely.
Because, as I said, I definitely was where you think you might have been. I mean, I definitely was out there. I voted for Brunner, and I voted for Brunner because of NDAA. I voted for Brunner because of the Patriot Act. I voted for Brunner because of – and, I interviewed Todd Akin. He's a personable, nice guy. I like him a lot. But he's not the grassroots poster boy by any means. You know, he is not the part of the Patriot movement by any means. He's part of the big government, overlord, he did vote against, I'm not bad-mouthing him now. The guy stood firm against No Child Left Behind. He's a co-sponsor of the Fair Tax. He was against the TARP. Todd Akin is a good guy. But there are three or four, five things where he and I differed significantly. And when he won, I got behind him because I want Claire out. And again, I'm not a Republican. I didn't get behind him for any party loyalty. I didn't get behind him for any, wave the elephant, any of that stuff. I got behind him to defeat Claire McCaskill, and because I want as much of a small government constitutionalist as we can possibly get. And that was the guy. Monday, if you'll remember, a week ago yesterday, I was one of the first ones to say, this guy needs to go. I mean, we need to get rid of this guy. And then, man, I felt it. I felt it. You and I talked about it Monday night before his Tuesday deadline came around. And come Tuesday at 5 o'clock, I felt the swell. I felt, and I'm telling you, I got caught in that. And I don't want to say I got caught up in it, like as in, I didn't know what I was doing. I was out of control of myself. I got caught up in it because I was a little disillusioned. I was a little disappointed after our primary that the grassroots movement hadn't founded in itself to boot the Inklers and the Longs. And I was a little bit tainted on the whole thing. And when I felt this swell of grassroots pride in people standing up for, and again, because I'm not a Republican, it's not for me about standing up against the quote-unquote party like it is for, a loyal Republican who's been a loyal Republican all their life and suddenly is feeling like they're under the thumb of somebody that they trusted and believed in. For me, it is just about we, the people, as a people, standing up against party in general, against bureaucracy in general, against power in general, and I'm on board right now. I'm on board with everything that goes on, and I'm watching with interest about to see what this does to the party.
Yeah, I'm just kind of awed and dismayed. I don't know if the Republican Party is so drunk with its own power that they're so far above the unwashed masses that they don't think they have to answer to us. But I think it's a huge, huge mistake to take us for granted at this point. I mean, I don't know if the people outside of Missouri really understand what's going on within our borders here, but I really do believe that most Missourians understand what's going on here, and they don't like it. And I think that there's going to be a huge pushback. And, just think of what it would mean to Missouri politics and politics across the country if Akin wins this race.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, and As we look down to Tampa Bay, we see that we aren't the only ones here in Missouri, folks, fighting a good fight. So take that to heart. Take that to heart and hold on. Hold on. We're going to have some casualties, as any good war does. But these Republicans, they're going to win this battle. And by win this battle, I mean they're going to throw this election to Claire McCaskill. They're going to win the battle in Tampa Bay, and they're going to shut the Ron Paul people completely out. They're going to shut the Gingrich people completely out. They're going to shut everybody but the Romney people completely out. So they're going to win the battle. But I'm telling you, folks, keep that line. Keep that line drawn. Keep that line solid, because the war is a long way from over. And I think that the Republican Party is going to lose this war.
Yeah, you know, think about what it's going to mean if Claire McCaskill goes back to Washington.
Yes.
Okay. You know, both parties have drawn a line in the sand, and Todd Akin is in it to win it. You know, he's receiving threat. You know, his folks are receiving threats. It looks like they're trying to dismantle the campaign from within. You know, maybe some unethical behavior might be happening. And if they don't, you know, stop playing chicken with Todd Akin, and
yeah,
Claire McCaskill goes back to Washington D.C., people are not going to be mad at Todd Akin.
That's right.
Angry with the Republican Party, and that is just not going to bode well for the future.
That's right, because the Republican Party, and specifically the MRC, the Blunts, the Ashcrofts, the you name it, you know all the names, I don't, but they haven't seen yet that this is not a game of chicken between them and Todd Akin. This has now become a game of chicken between them and 50% of their people.
That's right, or more.
Yeah, or more maybe. And you know what's going to be double disastrous. And the numbers indicate that this is entirely a possibility. And if things keep going the way they are going, maybe even a likelihood.
Yeah.
Not only that Claire McCaskill goes back to Washington, but that she goes back to Washington as the 51st Democrat.
Absolutely. And if that happens,
oh,
you know,
man,
city bar the door. I mean, it's
oh yeah.
Gonna-
Absolutely. Yep, it sure is. Now, is Todd Akin ripples running up and down the ticket? I don't think so. Today's polls indicated that Todd Akin was behind by 9, and I keep saying, listen, okay, I'm the last one, and you know, my education is in math and statistics. So I'm the last one to say that that matters, that Todd Akin is behind by 9 points. At this point, it does not matter. You know, we're less than a week separated from the earthquake, and we've got more than 6 weeks to go till Judgment Day. And 9 points is nothing. It is significant that he was 20 points up 2 weeks ago, and now he's 9 points down. But 9 points down is not significant. But I say that to indicate that while he is 9 points down, Romney, in the latest polls, is still 11 points up in Missouri.
Yeah, I don't think. I think that people hate Claire McCaskill more than they're angry at Todd.
Yes, Akin. That's right, and I think those numbers will come back. And here's a big if, and I wanted to say this sometime tonight, and I'm going to say it right now. Todd Akin, I'm done with the I'm sorry commercials. Get over it.
I have it on good authority that those are over and they're moving on.
Good. I heard one today, so I hope so. It's, you know, the last thing we need is for it to be our side that keeps this thing on the front burner.
That's right. I think, yes, come out as a strong leader with a strong message and focus on the issues, because this is not, and nor has it ever been, a campaign based on issues regarding rape and pregnancy.
No.
This, you know, it's been a distraction for a couple of weeks. Now it's time to move on. Todd Akin, you know, knows the other issues. He can campaign very strongly on those issues, and it's just time to move on. And I think when he does, I think you'll see his numbers rise.
Okay, when we come back in 2 minutes, we're going to have 15 minutes left, and Lisa and I are going to recap a little bit of what's going on at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, and then we're going to talk about vaginas, because I promised you we would.
Oh. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not.
not pout, I'm telling you why.
Here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, it's Christmas in July and August and September. Last year on Christmas Eve, MGC paid off the department store layaway accounts of two Missouri families who were not able to provide Christmas for their children. This year, we would like to at least double that number, and in an attempt to do that by the holiday season, we're asking you to consider donating a few dollars toward that effort. We know the holiday season is the most difficult time of year to ask for donations, so we're planning ahead and asking you to give whatever you can so that a few Missouri families will be able to celebrate at Christmas. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa page. All the details are there for you to donate by PayPal, check, or money order. Conservatives have proven to be the most generous and most benevolent people in the United States. Please help us with this very small charitable project.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Dave and Lisa is the MGC News Hour on Tuesday night, MGC Radio Network. This is August 28th. And we've talked tonight about a judge overthrowing the ballot language from the Secretary of State, replacing it with the Republican language. We have talked about the RNC and the debacle going on there. We've talked about Todd Akin and how the both the RNC and the MRC are treating him and what we think that holds for the future of both the MRC and the RNC. And we're going to recap some things that are going on in Missouri Grassroots Coalition now. So if you have 10-year-olds listening to this show, shuffle them off in the other room, because as soon as we wrap this up, we're going to talk about female body parts. Lisa, what's this Secret Santa thing and how's it going?
Oh, Secret Santa is a project that the Missouri Grassroots Coalition is taking on to help some families maintain the magic of Christmas for their kids. Last year, the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Executive Committee went out and paid off a couple of the layaway accounts in a couple of Missouri department stores on Christmas Eve, no less, of some families who couldn't provide Christmas toys for their kids. And they're hoping that this year, we are hoping that we can at least double the numbers of families that we served last year and keep those Christmas, the magic of Christmas alive for some kids here in our state.
Well, that sounds like a good deal. Okay, so how do people give us money?
Go to the MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and look for the Secret Santa tab on the home page and give us some money, a PayPal, check, or money order. We're not asking for much, 5, 10, 3, 1, just, you know, give us whatever you got. Please do it, you know, early. We don't want you to wait until you're strapped at Christmas trying to provide for your own family. But just remember, you know, this has been a very tough economic year. Not only for all of us, but I'm sure for a lot of other families that are really going to have a hard time and struggling for providing for Christmas for their kids. So just a few dollars. We're only really seeking to raise about $500. We're not trying to break the bank here. And every penny of it, and then some, because the executive committee will chip in to fill in any deficits. Every penny goes to the Secret Santa initiative here and to buy those toys for those kids.
Okay. And listen, folks, you'd ought to be, whether you're going to throw in a dollar or not, you should throw in a dollar or two or three or five, 10, 15, 30, a dollar a month. You can go there as often as you want, $2 a month, $3 a week, whatever you can afford. But that's neither here nor there. You'd ought to be going anyway to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. That's all one word, like Missouri Grassroots Coalition, no break between the words, you know how URLs go, .org, O-R-G, not com. So MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, you'd ought to be going there. There's some great forums there. You can read all of Lisa's breaking news in the Culture Vigilante blogs there. Your group should have your calendar posted there so everybody in the state of Missouri knows when your meetings are and what's going on. If your group joins as a member, you have complete access to that calendar. We'll announce your events. We'll keep people posted on what you're doing. And most beautifully here at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, we dream of a day when in your local area you have a significant issue that's causing you heartache, and you don't feel like in your small Fair Tax group or 912 group or Tea Party group, you have the numbers to make a significant difference, that all you would need to do is come to your fellow compatriots at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org to muster the numbers you need to make a difference in your local area. Because at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we believe, you know, we've talked all night now about what's happening at the RNC. We've given up. We've given up on changing our country from the top down. We're going to change this country. We're going to change this country. We're going to do it. We're going to succeed. But we're going to do it because we have to, from the bottom up, from those committee positions, from the city councils, from the county commissions and the county councils, to the mayorships, all the way up to the state senate and the state house of representatives, to the secretary of state and the attorney general's office and the governor's mansion. We're going to do it. And when we do it, and you can look down at the RNC and see that the same thing is happening in a lot of states. You see what happened in Wisconsin. You see what happened in Texas in the latest primary. This thing is turning all over the place. So when we all, or at least the majority of us, take our states back and stand up to the federal government and say, no, we're done, then we'll have the power to fix it at the top. But we're not going to be able to till then. That's the mission at Missouri Grassroots Coalition. Lisa, what's happening tomorrow night?
We are going to be broadcasting live from the Americans for Prosperity field office in St. Peter's, Missouri, on Jungerman Road. They're having a convention watch party, and we will be also talking to the Cooper County Patriots in the Patriot Spotlight, and hopefully Chris Arps will call in and give us an update from Tampa and talk to us about the black vote and Mitt Romney.
Great. That sounds interesting and exciting. I'm going to I have a previous engagement tomorrow early. I should be back for the last half of that, Lisa, and I will be listening anxiously to you going live from the convention watch party. Do you know? I'm not a convention watcher, so I don't know what the schedule is. What's up for tomorrow night at the convention? Is it actually the nomination?
You know, I haven't been paying that much attention. I've been working on this story, but I'm sure that it's probably speeches. I'm thinking the nomination is Thursday. The nomination actually happened today, and I think the acceptance speech happens on Thursday.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. Well, see, that shows you how much I know. Thursday, we'll be back with the latest news, a wrap, in fact, of the convention. We'll be talking a lot about what happened at the convention, and I'm talking about what happened politically at the convention. In other words, you know, who spoke, what they said, what was good out of it. We're not going to trash the whole convention. Some good things are going to come out of it. Some good speeches are going to be made. And then we'll talk about the undertow of what happened at the convention. I'm sure that there's going to be more exciting stuff. Okay, Lisa, at the convention, there are about 100 people there, mostly women, some men, quite embarrassingly, dressed up as giant vaginas.
You're going to forget about it.
Yeah. Carrying around signs that say, Republicans respect women. And the first thing I think when I see that is, how in the world do you expect me to respect you when you have no more respect for yourself than that? I mean, than to walk around on the streets of Tampa Bay dressed up like a vagina.
Well, some people think that the shock factor has value. You know, I think that you can carry it too far.
Yeah.
And I think it did.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, I think it's absolutely insane. I think back, you know, to I know you're still a youngster, but I think back to the crazy days of the 60s when, you know, people were actually setting themselves on fire and doing all kinds of crazy things, and we look back on those days and we say that was insane, you know, that accomplished nothing. It didn't send a lasting message. It didn't convert a lot of people. And I look at these crazy ladies out there, and men, walking around with signs on their backs that say "Read my lips," and at the same time expecting me to respect women as they call for me to do. And I'm a great respecter of women. Don't get me wrong, but I'm thinking we're going to look back at this in 5 years and look and say, gosh, how stupid do those people look? And it just it makes me laugh, but at the same time, I think it's sad. It is sad because we have people in our country that would do that to start with. But it is sad because once again, the sensational picture of a vagina walking around the streets of Tampa Bay is overshadowing the fact that Lisa, your children's children are going to work 40 or 50 hours a week and give 75% of what they make to the federal government to pay our debt. What's that got to do with a vagina? You know?
This just kind of, for me, it aligns with the Occupy protesters.
Absolutely.
You know, I think there are much more effective ways to get your message across.
Well,
you just kind of wonder about, we've grown up in a culture where, you know, this kind of tactic has been, it gets a lot of attention. It's effective. You know, people, you know, we're talking about it. The news will report on it. I've heard about it from other sources. You know, it's just so sad that we're not a culture that has taught our people to communicate effectively so that they don't have to resort to such flagrant and ridiculous tactics.
That's right. And again, you know, the sad part of this is it's so distracting. It is so distracting from the national debt. It is so distracting from Obamacare. It's so distracting. And that's the intention. I'm telling you, that is the intention of the Democratic Party, is to keep as many distractions on the front page of the newspaper as possible, because they can't talk about the real issues. They can't talk about the fact that you were feeding your kids ribeye steaks for $4 a pound 6 months ago, and now you're feeding them ground beef for $4 a pound. They just can't talk about that. They can't talk about that because that hits home to you, and it makes you want to do something that they don't want you to do. That's going to be the vagina thing is going to be a wrap for tonight. Tomorrow, the Culture Vigilante. Thursday night, the Hour of Truth. Friday night, the Round Table. Lisa and I at a minimum on Friday night, and I think we may have one or two more people join us for the Round Table on Friday. We'll be wrapping up this week. We'll be talking a little bit, I'm sure. We're not going to be able to avoid talking about Todd Akin because, like I said, something new happened today. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it. And something new is going to happen between now and Friday. We'll be talking about the Republican National Convention. We'll be talking about the aftermath and the blowback from that on Friday night. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Find out what's coming up on Missouri. And don't forget that beginning next week, there will be no show on Tuesday night. And beginning the week after that, there will be no show on Thursday night. From that point forward, Missouri Grassroots Radio will be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, still from 7 to 8, and we'll be looking for you on those Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Good night, Lisa. Always a pleasure.
And back at you, Dave. Good night.
Good night.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.